That was really loud. Whoa, 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 yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Hey, guys. Welcome. I'm just going to keep that intro because sometimes it's fun to just keep it real. And I literally, the volume on my computer was insanely high because I was just messing around with some music of mine. And let's face it, when the music is on, the volume is up. Where are my people at? I see you. I'm trying to be cool. Don't laugh at me. Oh, today, ladies and gents, oh, today, I'm so stoked. I'm excited. Long time coming. I know. Dragging my feet. This song took forever. I don't know why. I kept finding things about it. I wanted to watch the in the studio rehearsal prep stuff the guys did in that little documentary again, and I didn't. Although I've seen it so many times, I remember most of the important things. But I wanted to watch it again, and I didn't. So, we are diving into the first song, track number one, on Queen's 12th album, released in 1986, after their massive domination of Live Aid in 1985. This was the first song on the album that followed that magic. And of course, I kicked off the album as a whole on my last episode. But this is the first time we're talking about a song, and I gotta tell you, already, just picking apart this one song, I've discovered there's a lot more to it than initially meets the ear. What do I mean by that? I mean, as I go through this, I think a lot of elements are going to surprise me than I initially anticipated. And that, I think, might change my sentiment about this album in general. I think I mentioned when I kicked it off that this is, and I don't mean anything particularly negative about it when I say this, because I love everything Queen does, but as a whole, this 12th album is a little less impressive to me. It just doesn't wow me like some of the others do. So therefore, it's always sat lower on my album rankings on any given day. But yes, I've already discovered as I was going through this song alone that there are sounds and attitudes and styles about it that really surprise me and make me happy. And I think I'm going to really enjoy going through A Kind of Magic from 1986. Wow. The very first song on the album. And as it is, the very first song the band worked on for the album. A lot of firsts happening here. And of course, this is One Vision. Whoa, whoa, yeah. Dive number 129. Yes, track one. Can you believe it? I've talked about almost 130 Queen songs. And this one was officially on the credits written by the boys as a collective, though it was originally inspired by Roger's lyrics and this idea he had. And John practically insists it was more of a Rog, Freddie, Brian co-write. And we'll talk all about that in my fun facts. I have a lot of, I think maybe both fun facts and quotes from the boys for you today. This is new wave pop rock on A Kind of Magic, One Vision. And it was released as a single November 4th of 85 in the UK, November 20th of 85 in the US, not too long before Turkey Day there. And this was released as a single, what was it, more than 6 months before the album's release. So this was almost a standalone project when it was released. And that's why the B-side for the single One Vision was a little bit unique. This did chart number 7 in the UK, and that's kind of surprising to me, only because they were so successful at Live Aid. I would have thought this thing would have shot straight up or very close to number one. Alas, it hit 7, and only 61 in the US, and that surprises me too, because we've talked about how the boys slipped in popularity. They lost their grip on the United States, unfortunately. And as such, everything that followed kind of the 1984, 85 time frame just didn't do as well until going into the 90s there. But we'll talk about that when that time comes. We are at a very comfortable 120 BPM. That is my ideal dance track BPM, actually. That's kind of a standard. I feel like for me, I love sitting at 120 beats per minute. Having a kick at that, it just gets me going. I love that BPM for a dance track. And we're in the time signature of 4/4. One key, D major. This is a very comfortable key as well. I think not just for me, but it seems like in general, a lot of people like D major. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that, but it feels like we're in a lot of comfortable zones today, I guess. And what is the song? What is One Vision? Well, it is exactly what the title says it is. Unity. Can't we all just get along? We come one. And per Raj, this was inspired by Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous speech, his I Have a Dream speech. And this is epic. It's impressive. It's powerful, uplifting. The boys pack both synthetic and acoustic punch in album 12's opener. And it's a perfect concert opener. It's fairly cyclic in nature, but extended variations of phrases lead to very unique embellished sounds and one-offs and surprises and verses that blend seamlessly into choruses. This kind of feels like one long celebration. There's been a few songs from Queen like that over the years, and this is definitely one of those. It doesn't seem to ever slow down, even though there are moments where the drums drop out. We have a crescendo that bursts forth several times. This is like a movement of music in different ways. And its intro is very complex, several mini movements in and of itself. This intro rises into one of my favorite Brian guitar riffs, the hook in here, exploding into a very encouraging, joyful song. Two classic Queen characteristics I absolutely adore: encouraging, joyful. Queen is such a joyful, celebratory band. I know a lot of rock bands had, you know, kick it, let's rock out, we're gonna rock and roll all night. Why is that always my go-to? But this really, I think, epitomizes so much of what we love about Queen. Brazen, sharp, cutting vocals from Freddie, check. Balanced, bombastic, programmed, and live drums. I think there's some programmed drums here from Raj, check. Depth, bouncy bass from John, oh yes, check. And of course, soaring, gritty guitar from Brian, indeed. It all culminates into a rousing, energetic, celebrated song that carries those hallmarks of Queen, but interjects something, I think, very special and exciting and playful, even experimental. Didn't I talk about that when I summarized A Kind of Magic? It's very playful. It sounds excited. It sounds a little more carefree. We don't have any kind of chip on the shoulder jive from News of the World. We've got nothing like that. We have none of that kind of punk rock and roll attitude. This is much more celebratory. Synthesized, manipulated vocals, twisted and turned against the atmospheric orchestral arrangements here, and some touches of bluesy vocals with flatted thirds thrown in, especially in those verses. Awesome job, Freddie. Feels so natural when it's sung this way. It's brighter, lighter melodies are contrasted with those driving elements that go really hard. It sounds like the boys are having an awful lot of fun here. And if there's one word to describe the emotion here, it's not optimistic or even hopeful. It's happy. This sounds, it feels so happy. Even though, yeah, there are so many lyrics here that talk about coming together in unity and celebrating that kind of optimism. But that's what I take away from this, is the happiness and the joy. And I think that's why this is going to be an album as I go through song after song after song, despite the moodier moments, some of them from my favorite moody Brian Moody May. I think overall this album is going to really carry that feeling of brightness. Absolutely love it. And I accidentally just shut my notes page. What in the world? All right. And this notes page is so massive. I've kept every single thing I've written down about every single song from Queen. So my document is absolutely huge. And the reason I keep all these stats and findings is because it's a really good reference for me if someone on the Queen sub, for example, asks a question about a song or a performance or something, especially relevant to the structure of a song, I can immediately go to my notes and say, hey, I actually know the answer to that question. Because let's face it, I've read and jotted down so many things about these songs over the last few years that there's absolutely no way I can retain all of this information. As we get older, our brains simply have to push things out to put more in. And I'm at the point where ask me something really specific about pretty much any song, and I got to go back and look at notes for releases and charting and all of that jazz. So let's talk about this song's live performances. This was so special on a stage. And I'm really sad that we never had it beyond 1986, because of course, the Magic Tour was the last tour we got from Freddie and company together. And this song was played 26 times every show of the Magic Tour as the opener. They knew this was perfect to kick off that energy. Let's talk about Wembley first. My word, what an opener. The energy, the intensity, the crescendo, the explosion, literally. And Brian takes improvised melodies for a ride as those power chords are carried by synthesizers. Freddie is electric. Everybody! Really, the entire band is completely locked in. Not like we're surprised by this, but it's rallied in a way that feels different. I think I discovered exactly where Freddie bends backward in that insane pose at Wembley, the one we see everywhere, the one that's on the cover of the Wembley album, where he's in his jacket and he's bending over backwards, almost, what is it, like 90 degrees? I swear, it's right after he sings, "Give me one vision." Right before we go into the next verse there, he kind of bends backward on the stage, but the camera's not on him, so it's really difficult to see, and it's a different angle. But I do know the timing is probably right, because I remember Neil Preston said something about, what was that, his fourth shot of that performance. So I hope I'm right. I hope I'm not wrong on that, but I think that's where it is. And the end of that phrase, so many additional snare strikes, cymbals, John's bass roll, Roger's harmony vocals. The crowd is all over this. Brian briefly takes vocal lead. And that breakdown, the breakdown in this song. I'm going to talk all about it a little bit later as we get to the end. But Brian growling on guitar there. And Freddie, perfection Freddie. Give me your hands, give me your hearts. I'm ready. This song just hits different in a live setting. All through the night, it's a celebration. Three-part harmonies. And is John singing? He may be. His mic might be turned off, but it looks like he is. So precious when this happens. The solo is faster. Thank you, Roger. And John, oh, yes, can't remember the last time we got something quite like that. John's up and down the scale to the fifth. Brian's sliding and gritty and grinding, and it's glorious on his guitar. The two of them together. Roger's riffs and drum rolls. Yes. An incredible phrase, incredible moment there. And Freddie and Roger trade off those echo vocals at the end, that vocal conversation. One life, one more, one man. Budapest is just as magical in a different way. The crowd is enthusiastic. I get goosebumps watching it. And part of that is just knowing that it's Budapest, and very few people, especially from different countries, go in there to perform like this. Freddie sounds just as great. The live vocals "and a dark rain falls" are traded for something through a vocoder. The breakdown of instruments is just as fabulous, though. And no matter where they played this, this song was one of their best live. The biggest reason, of course, that I'm sad that we only had it 26 times in this fashion. Of course, other artists, other bands have covered it over the years, but this is one of those that just hits. It hits really hard. It hits different. It gives it such an energy. Far and away, I think the boys put their best selves forward in a live setting. Of course, they're great in the studio. They're masterminds at work. They know what they're doing, especially at this point. But on a stage, they are some of the best performers you're ever going to see. I see comments, endless comments from people about how Queen, to this day, are the best live act they've ever seen. And part of that might be nostalgia. Part of that might be, you know, I think we all long for days of years past when we were more carefree, when we didn't have so many responsibilities, when life was seemingly more fun. Maybe not really, but we always want what we don't have. You know, the grass is always greener. And I suppose that's part of it. But that's a pretty bold statement to make, to say that Queen, and yes, these people say, yeah, I've seen this band, and I've seen these other rock bands, and I've seen contemporary bands, and people can put on some incredible shows, especially these days. Look at what Pink does. Wow. But these people say, yeah, I've seen all that, and I still cannot get over what it felt like and sounded like to be close to the stage in front of Queen doing their best thing. Incredible. I have a lot of fun facts. We got a lot to get through, so hold on tight. The first one is somebody made the comment that Standing in the Rain by Electric Light Orchestra, that this song, specifically the introduction, I think, that One Vision was a bit of a ripoff, or it echoed Standing in the Rain. I listened to Standing in the Rain. I went through the whole thing. I was listening to it. I thought, you know, there are tiny motifs that might be similar, but they're not the same. So perhaps the tone of it, the sound of those elements was a bit of a similarity, but I don't hear a major common denominator there. But that's just an interesting little fact. I wanted to throw that at you guys. If you're curious, go listen to Standing in the Rain by Electric Light Orchestra and tell me what you think. Now, the UK single of One Vision was released well before the album as a standalone, with three picture sleeves, and the single in both the UK and the US included the B-side, the remixed Blurred Vision, which is a very percussive take with more manipulated vocal sounds, the occasional guitar riff or vocal, until the end that finishes as the original does for the most part. This isn't my favorite thing, which is weird because I like that sort of jungle breakdown in the album version. I like that moment. Maybe it just needs to stay that length instead of being extended into this long, I think it's like a 5 minute, 6 minute long mix. It's pretty long, very repetitive. It sounds more like an experimentation in sounds and not a cohesive song. But check it out. Go check out Blurred Vision. And again, tell me what you think. And this song originally started as a combined demo called A Kind of Vision, though that demo sounds almost entirely like an early version of A Kind of Magic. There is a lyric in A Kind of Vision where Freddie sings, you know, the parts where he's going, one dream, one soul. He sings One Vision, which I don't think, I got to go back and look at it, but I don't think we have that in the album version. There are some elements that tie in, but it's very distinctive in this demo version of A Kind of Vision where we hear One Vision. Yet another thing you need to go check out if you haven't listened to it already. And while Roger's original lyrics for this song stemmed from those reflections of Martin Luther King Jr., Roger admitted, quote unquote, that Rota, Freddie, swooped in and changed many a lyric, including the addition of the infamous conclusion, "Gimme fried chicken." Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. The making of One Vision, it's wonderfully documented for all of us to see in a lengthy sort of mini film. We get to see and hear all four of the boys working on the song in Munich during rehearsals. And there are some charming clips of Roger, Brian, and Freddie brainstorming lyrics. Now, the final recording sessions for this were done in London, but these are just the rehearsal portions in Munich. And this is one of my favorite things to watch. I think I've watched that little mini documentary 30 times. It's just one of my favorite things to put on if I'm just doing something that I don't really need to think about it, but I want to check this video out again. Because there are sections where we get to see every single man working on his parts of the song. Even John doing the bass, which is relatively simple. But we get to see Brian working on the guitar riff. And he's trying to get that syncopation because we have these elements in the song where it's very offbeat. You know, those chromatic crescendos that rise up into the next phrase and go dun, 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 dun. And it's very syncopated. But when they're working on it, he's kind of landing on the beat. And I think there was actually a moment where Roger comes out and goes, you know, no, it should be like near, near, near. But I love watching them work. There's a lot of joy in their attitudes. There's some comments, and I think I might have them, from Brian about how they're all kind of putting on a little bit of a show because they know they're being filmed. So it's not quite so authentic. But we'll talk about that as I get into the comments a little more. But please, if you haven't treated yourself to that little video, just look up Queen One Vision Studio and enjoy, because it is one of the most glorious, happiest things we ever get from the guys. It's just one of my favorites. And originally, that little documentary was released in 2003 on the DVD Greatest Video Hits 2 on that set. Can you imagine? It was that long between actually filming it in 85. Almost 20 years it took to release that to the world in 2003. It just sat there. I wonder how much more we haven't seen or heard yet. And both Freddie and Brian provide heavily edited, warped phrases in the song's intro, which is God works in mysterious ways. And then Brian comes in again and says mysterious ways. And it's really slowed down. It's manipulated. It's warped. I had no idea it was both of them saying that. And actually, I had no idea that was what was being said because it's so slowed and tweaked and twisted up that you really have to listen in to say, oh, wow, that is what's being said. But it's very subtle, and I like that. And Brian plays the Yamaha DX7 in the opening synth chords. This was the first song completed for the album, of course, because it was the first song they started working on. And after the boys agreed to provide songs for the film Highlander, though this song is notably not part of the soundtrack, however, it appeared in Iron Eagle. When Queen released this as a single in 85, the media associated it with Live Aid. They thought it was inspired by the performance at Live Aid, and they felt the band should give all royalties to Live Aid. And this was ridiculous because they were totally spacing, is this the world we created, which was still earning money for the Save the Children Fund. The song's video features the boys morphing from their famous Bo Rap diamond stance with that heavy lighting, that very high contrast, into their current selves in that moment. Now, the studio footage, the staged footage, we've got Brian underwater, goofy boys, laughing boys, making faces, messing around. It's an incredibly joyful video, and actually, one of my favorites. And stems from One Vision, from the song, are available online after being cracked from the video game Rock Band, released as downloadable content in October 2009. Have at it with those stems, folks. Enjoy. I should go in there and pick them and have fun. I have a lot of band critique. I think I have something from every one of them, and maybe from someone else besides the band. It's been a while since I made these notes, so bear with me. Yes, to start, a quote from producer Mack, Reinhold Mack, in International Musician and Recording World in 86. And I think I paraphrased this a lot. I think I tried to summarize it as best I could. It was a very long quote. Here we go. Quote, Queen is a very democratic arrangement. In the case of One Vision, it was very much a co-effort, with no one taking sole composer credit. Roger already had a complete song ready, so he recorded a rough idea. Everyone works in a different way. John is very organized and has a mathematical mind. On the other hand, Freddie will often come in with absolutely nothing worked out, and he'll just say, "Give me 5 minutes," and come up with something great. Over the course of a week, we recorded a whole series of ideas, ending up with 4 or 5 songs worth to choose the best from. Out of that came One Vision. The weird introduction was done with the Kurzweil 250. Freddie said he wanted lots of strange noises and swirling sounds. I came into the studio early one morning and started playing around with sampling some of his vocal lines into the Kurzweil and playing them back with a downward pitch change with various effects. Unquote. John, during an 85 interview, Freddie was on the phone and he wanted to go back in the studio and do some more recording. So we went back to the studio and we actually recorded another single. I was late getting to the recording sessions because I was actually on holiday at the time. It's credited as a Queen composition, but to be honest, I would say it was mainly Roger, Brian, and Freddie who did most of the writing. Unquote. Roger talked the original versus final meaning of the song in an 86 interview. Quote, "The original words were actually about Martin Luther King Jr., and now I haven't got a clue what it's about. Somebody said it was about Bob Geldof, but I don't think it is. Well, they changed all my words. That rotter Freddie." Unquote. Brian on Absolute Greatest in 2009. Quote, "Now, this song was a true collaboration as well. I would definitely say we all brought stuff to this, the four of us. And we allowed people in to make a documentary of us making it. So I think we all kind of showed off in the video, but it was very useful to have the footage when it came to making the promo video. The riff is my kind of thing. And we all pitched in and produced ideas. Freddie had lots of vocal ideas, most of which were unprintable. We did have a laugh doing it. It was great. We had some fun. And it's not often that we really wrote a song together. Truly, this is a good example." Unquote. And when he says that a lot of Freddie's ideas were unprintable, there were some profanity lyrics thrown in there. You got to go watch the video to see what I'm talking about. Roger elaborated on this collaboration, quote, "I have here is a transcript of Frederick's original lyrics. One heart, one soul, one sex position, one shrimp, one prawn, one clam, one chicken." Yeah. And the only bit that actually survived was fried chicken at the end. I think he went through the entire Chinese menu. "I wrote a bunch of lyrics, which was a sort of poem, and actually I sort of plundered it for A Kind of Magic and this song." You'll notice the similarities in there being one of a lot of things. It was sort of Martin Luther King pastiche. So that's where all the one stuff came into it. And you know what? I didn't have a Freddie quote, did I? Sad! That is the one person I didn't get a quote from. I thought I did. Apologies. I lied and I didn't intend to. I have a little bit of critique, though it's kind of strange. Contemporary reviews didn't mention this song very much. It's bizarre that I wasn't able to find much about it, especially, again, given the boys' massive celebrated performance and success at Live Aid. So that really surprised me. I was expecting to read a lot more about this song from both critics and the fandom, and I just didn't find that much, but let's get into it. And unfortunately, what I do have is more negative than positive. People Weekly, quote, "One Vision manages to be an anti-war song, even though it comes from the Vengeance with Jet Fighter movie Iron Eagle," unquote. The reason I consider that to be somewhat negative, this how dare they thing, is just because they're almost saying that, yeah, it manages to make a statement while being this other thing that doesn't really work. Rolling Stone, quote, "There's something endearingly campy about Freddie Mercury's brazen stage presence, but on record, his mock operatic delivery often sounds affected, and the slapdash quality of these songs makes him seem monumentally insincere. He ends the inspirational One Vision with a silly plea for fried chicken and a one-night stand." First of all, fried chicken. All right, let's talk about that. In retrospect, that is the most memorable thing about the song, and I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. Or one of the most memorable things as far as the fandom is concerned. The other thing about the One Night Stand, I think I know what lyric Rolling Stone is referring to here. And I'll tell you, it never occurred to me, at least not overly so. If it's there, it's very subtle. It never occurred to me that Freddie and the boys and whoever wrote this all together is saying anything about a one-night stand. I never took that from this because the bulk of this is definitely focusing on coming together as people in a let's be peaceful kind of a way, not another way. I should clarify that. Is it meant to be that way? Only the guys would know. Maybe only Freddie would have known. But I think that's being extraordinarily nitpicky. And to be so hyper-focused on two elements like that, when the whole of this song is so much bigger than those parts, it's like Queen itself. The whole is bigger than the sum of the parts. Why do that? That is a classic example of Rolling Stone, and there were other publications that did it and continue to do it, hyper-focused on something that really is irrelevant to the entire point of the song, just to make their point, and it drives me crazy. But fried chicken. Okay, let's talk about fried chicken. Fried chicken? Chicken. The phrase of the song, and easily one of the most celebrated, mentioned, memed moments in the fandom. Younger fans especially love it. Though I think some focus on this one moment so much, they miss the point of the song. A lot of people like to make jokes about fried chicken. And a lot of people like to say, does he really say fried chicken? Yes, he does. You're not mishearing that. You don't have, you know, cotton in your ears. You are definitely hearing him sing fried chicken. And it was very intentional. And why? Why would Freddie do that? Because it's fun. We all know, and if you don't by now, you need to go back and listen to my many other episodes where I talk about this very thing. The guys never take themselves too seriously. The work, yes, sometimes, but not themselves. They're kicking it. They're having fun, and especially the three of them. Go back and watch the little mini documentary thing again. When Brian, Freddie, and Roger are brainstorming, and it's really funny when they're sitting there and Brian literally doesn't know what to write, and he shrugs and he looks at the camera and he's like, I got nothing. But they're writing things down that are just insane, and they're poking at each other and they're laughing, and it's so fun. It reminds me a little bit of some of that footage that is some of my favorite ever, where they're in Japan in 1975 and they're teasing each other when they're sending their thank yous to the Japanese people, and they're being so charming and cute. And then, you know, Roger, especially John, they're messing around behind the others and just, they're having a ball. And I think that's what we get here. The guys are having fun. This is not meant to be so serious. Why so serious? So yes, fried chicken it is. I love it. I think it's brilliant. And really, this song, definitely one of the most celebrated on the album, along with a handful of others. But this one certainly packs a punch as the opener for A Kind of Magic. That sneaky manipulation, those sounds, psychedelic. Almost warped, slowed voices. What is that? God works in mysterious ways. In mysterious ways. Then, urgency, strings. Da-na-na-na-na. D, E flat, D, C, D. And see, I didn't even sing that right. It's a great phrase, the half step between the second and the whole step in the seventh. Suspension. Where are we? It almost sounds science fiction. And another phrase, just like the first, drum beat comes in. Sounds like a flanger effect. Synths sweeping, guitar glissandos. And suddenly, the hook, and we feel that major key for the first time. A rising string tone, intensifying voices, fifth, seventh chords, uplifting. I had a dream. A shift in feel and tone into B flat, D, spiraling 32nd synth arpeggios so high in those octaves. A pause, so much crescendo in this rich flangered chord as everything else drops out. A glissando chord reveals, finally, a full minute in. Dear, Brian's hook, syncopated. All of those half-step intervals create such a singable, memorable melody. There's a ping of a bass, but otherwise this first phrase features Brian, Brian, Brian all around us in surround sound. The richness of that guitar in this moment here is just mwah, chef's kiss. And into the repeated phrase, Roger's fill, that burst in. John drops in to say hello, following the rhythm of that hook. And Brian soars on lead guitar. We get some more guitar. I love the sound of Roger's drums here, that slap of the snare. So much weight, so much presence in the mix. And the way Brian falls from the fifth to the tonic. And finally, a minute 30 in, hey, one man, one goal. One mission. This hook, my goodness. And Freddie sounds so alive and strong. This is easily one of my favorite vocals from him on this album. I can tell you that with absolute certainty. And this is just the first song we're talking about. One flash of light. Yeah, one God, one vision. The harmonies here, the layers that rise and rise, guitars, vocals. We hear all three boys as this wraps this phrase. A little surprise lies in the bass when the chorus starts, by the way. It's an arrangement very much like a kind of magic, that motif. And because it's not doubled with the guitar hook, this bass stands out beautifully. Brian is instead rocking power chords on the offbeats and Freddie in third harmonies. One flesh, one bone, one true religion. And because this chorus feels more like a link or a lead-in, especially in the chords, we got the A and the DA, it's difficult to pick the melody versus harmony in the vocals, actually. The chords change on the offbeat, creating this urgency, unpredictability. We're on to C. Seventh chord flirtations on that guitar. Whoa, 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 give me one vision. And we pivot from A to D chromatic. Do, 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 do. Second verse. No wrong, no right. I never noticed just how heavy these chords and even Freddie's voice are. Heavy, but still bright. All we need is one worldwide vision. I love those high harmonies in there. One worldwide vision. Those rich harmonies. All the boys again. And they're on the beat. It's so commanding. There's so much weight to it because they're on the beat. An interesting echo delay with that guitar in the second chorus. And the second phrase is altered higher. Whoa, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Same chromatic rise. Bridge, this is the moment I love. Well, one of the moments I love the most. I had a dream when I was young. A dream, a sweet illusion. This is the intro melody in the back with the strings. And that fabulous flanger shift on Freddie's voice at the start. That delay on his vocal creates such a great space with the synths and strings. Guitar, deep, low strings. Glimpse of hope and unity. Freddie's vocals are so varied, fluid. Almost nothing is cyclic, save a few phrases that mirror each other as he sings. The drums arrive again, but a cold wind blows and a dark rain falls. The ambience on that, the focus on that vocal there. And in my heart it shows, look what they've done to my dream. Yeah, what does that even mean? One of the things I love most about this bridge is how it's so optimistic at the start, that hope and unity, that wanting. And then he talks about the cold wind and the dark rain. Look what they've done to my dream. Does that mean the dream never was to be at all? That it was a lost cause? Or that it came to be and twisted into something totalitarian and scary and overwhelming? There's a lot to discuss in the lyrics of that phrase. And then that, yeah, that explosion into the crescendo, this brilliant glittering percussion, all the shuffles and cymbals, and Brian, solo moment. His hook is here, but that screech of a high lyrical guitar goes higher. Brian does a tapping technique. Did you know that? It's been years since he's done it. I think it was News of the World the last time he did that in a song. And Freddie, full on, powerful. We get so many dynamics of vocals from him in this song. And this right here, give me your hands, give me your hearts, I'm ready. What is that? So phenomenal. He's almost yelling. It's so powerful and inspiring. The guitar here, the bass. One world, one mission. That playful bouncing vocal echo is back. Technically, this is another verse, but it just feels like a solo extension and another chorus. But it's different. No hate, no fight, just excitation. No harmonies either, just melody. But then they burst in, all the boys. Whoa, 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 yeah! Oscillation. Harsh snare on the downbeats. Crash. One, 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 one. It's like this echo just keeps permeating our brain. Snare and even brightness. Jungle breakdown, synth vocal manipulation, tons of drum fills and guitar fills, nothing like we typically hear from Brian or Queen at all. One of the funnest breakdowns we'll ever get. The snare gets some extra reverb, oomph, a time or two. Love the clapping quality of it. And the programmed, I think programmed, toms, really a fun touch. B flat. One vision, deep and resonant, Brian's high guitar contrast, final chorus. Roger's masterful cymbal work is front and center with Freddie's driving vocal. Brian's guitar stream out in harmonies, guitars, multiple, like shooting stars through the mix, piercing through it. Everything, even John, it all balances. There's so much going on. Every element has its place in the mix. Give me one night, hey, give me one hope. The chromatic outro begins, but it's slower, stretched, every note falling back to the fifth as the lead climbs. Do, 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 do. The bass drum that kick pounces on every downbeat. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. Fried chicken. Vision, vision, vision. A few high arpeggios twinkle with our stretched otherworldly words. Manipulated. God works in mysterious ways. And that's it. It fades out. One vision. Our album opener for A Kind of Magic is done. It's kind of amazing, the length of the intro. And again, all of those different mini movements of it. We have the warped sounds and voices that slide in first. And then we have those really deep, almost minor sounding strings come in, and then that major tonation with that synth riff, then the guitars. It's amazing, the complexity of this song. Kind of cyclic, yeah, but like I said, we have elements here that surprise us, keep us going, keep us on the edge of our seat, to the edge of our ears, and so much joy in this song. And really, I think I love it all the more now that I've been through it in such depth, and I challenge you to go back, listen to the original, listen to Blurred Vision, go listen to the demo, A Kind of Vision. You'll see what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that demo more as I get into the next song, which is another favorite of mine, a favorite of many, but in the meantime, you guys know. You know how it goes. This is how we do it. Keep yourselves alive. Enjoy your day. Days. I hope I can get back here to you before too much time goes by. But have fun, relax, take in One Vision. Go listen to, go watch Wembley. Just go watch it and tell me it's not this amazing concert opener that you could watch and listen to again and again. I swear, going into the second portion of the 80s now, it's almost like the boys have hit this new era of enthusiasm. The Works had a little bit of that, but a kind of magic seems to be carrying that enthusiasm for the music again, and some of that innovation. It's carrying it forth into the newness, and I love it. One Vision. Kind of reminds me of, in a very distant way, John Lennon's Imagine, which had the same idea. Imagine all the people living together in peace. This, of course, is a very different take on the same kind of encouragement, much more rock, much more intense and rousing. Although Imagine is, in its own way, romantically and emotionally rousing. It gets us, it really hits the heart. You know what I mean? All right, guys. One Vision. One Vision. Hey, really a great vocal from Freddie. I could go on and on about this, and clearly I want to, but I will stop. Later, guys.